Right, late start and all. We are back to revising year 12. So, if you don't want to do podcasts, you don't want to read other things, you want to read email lists, this is the last piece of... This is the last piece of... Going through cell bio, remember the cell bio stuff? Colloidal. Colloidal's a chemistry word that we don't use anymore. What's it mean? And if you take colloidal silver, you go blue, but why? But seriously, there is that guy who was interviewed by Oprah who went blue. Completely blue. He had took colloidal silver for years and he went blue.
Is it reversible?
No, he's blue forever. But he's happy because he's better. Yeah, because silver's really poisonous for microorganisms. That's one of the reasons it's now trendy that lots and lots of like underarm deodorants and stuff have all got silver in them. But colloidal, Hattie, is really, really fine particles suspended so they don't fall out. It's like milk is a colloid or a suspension. If it's solid particles that are so tiny that they don't fall out of solution. So some clay in water, that kind of thing. Fine, fine solid particles. Now, why are they saying colloidal suspension? What are the solid particles they're talking about? They're not talking about silver in cells, seriously. What are they talking about? They're talking about proteins. They're talking about proteins as being sort of solid-ish. And they're also we're also looking at this like distinction between cytosol and cytoplasm, both of which are ancient words. Cyto means cell. So cytoplasm is all the stuff inside the cell. Cytosol is all the soluble stuff inside the cell, excluding organelles. So cytosol is all the stuff between the organelles, and cytoplasm is...
So is cytosol plasma?
No, cytosol is just the jelly stuff. Now, one of the other things about cytoplasm... cytosol and all those things, is there are a whole lot of different areas. There's the place where the mitochondria are, there's the place where the Golgi are, there's the place where the endoplasmic reticulum is. It's all sort of interesting and different. So, in the cytoplasm, colloidal little solid parts suspended. They're tiny, tiny solids. So it's a solid in a liquid.
So you
like putting egg in a liquid. Yeah, sort of. It's more like, you know, muddy water that's, you know, once you've got all the mud sitting on the bottom, there's still like a wee bit of discoloration in it. No. Yeah, that's a colloid, because if you give it heaps, like if what they do with the water treatment supplies, they put in something like aluminium sulfate, and it makes all the particles stick together, and the water eventually goes clear.
So how are they, how is the
proteins.
The
so there's proteins sort of suspended in liquid.
Because it's not actually soluble.
They're not dissolved. They're actually physically there.
Oh.
Yeah. So but it is sort of funny, yeah.
Why did the man turn blue?
The man turned blue because colloidal silver had done something funny with his skin.
So silver, that was just...
Yeah, the silver metal, he'd like made him go blue. He's not... When we do mutations, we'll look again at the blue fugates of Troublesome Creek, because they were also blue. But they were the whole family of blue people. And they lived in... Lived in the mountains of Kentucky.
Can you show a picture of them now?
No, not now. Okay. We're going to actually finish doing cells, then we're going to quickly do like what we're supposed to be doing. So this is still making sure you're all on the same page. Things we find in the cytoplasm are centrioles, chloroplasts. Notice on the slides, chloroplast is currently done in green. That's because they are green. Okay. And I used the word plastid. I actually stole the word plastid. But plastid is the name for the kind of organelle that a chloroplast is. You also find plastids in malaria parasites, but they're not green. So they're a particular... Chloroplasts are plastids, and chloroplasts are the one that you need to know something about. And you don't need to know the word plastid. They're the things that the spindle fibres attach to during meiosis and mitosis. You know, there's the wee things at the poles of the cell that the strings attach to? And the strings go from them to the chromosomes and pull the chromosomes out to the end. If you don't remember that, we need to make sure we go back and do it. So you just need to remember that centrioles are things in the cytoplasm that spindles attach to.
Okay.
Endoplasmic reticulum. Tubular network fused to the nuclear membrane. That's important. Through the cytoplasm onto the cell membrane, that's important. So there's like a flow all the way through. Storage separates, it's the cell's transport system. There are two kinds, rough and smooth. Hopefully we've pictured it as well. Yes, we did. Okay. What? I'm drawing it.
You're
what? No, I'll actually print the slide off. Write down what you need to write down. Write down what helps you remember things. But copying slavishly off a PowerPoint that I'm reading to you is probably like we're doing at least one operation too many. Okay. Where's the other picture? Come on. Oh, I'm going up, that's why. All right. Endoplasmic reticulum. Now, you can see rough and smooth. Rough has ribosomes on it. So R for rough, R for ribosome, all that sort of stuff. And there are spaces in the middle. Now, they're called cisternae. They're the cisternal space. What's the other use of the word cistern?
It's where the water comes out.
It's a large water thing you keep the water flushing the toilet in. That's the big tank above the toilet. The water's in, it's called the cistern. So, it's a storage tank. And then there is smooth endoplasmic reticulum, which is more tubes. Okay, there's... And then with somebody else's picture again, it's very tubey.
What is endoplasm?
Endo is? In. So it's in the plasm.
What's reticulum?
Plumbing. Reticulation system, reticulation... Water reticulation is what they call the plumbing system. So... The plumbing system inside the cytoplasm. But yeah, I think someone wanted to feel clever and said endoplasmic reticulum. And endoplasmic reticulum will make you feel good. Okay. Golgi. I can never remember if it's Enrico or Camillo. Might be Camillo Golgi. We can't say it. Okay.
So did the Golgi like take proteins, put them in little cases and then send them out?
Yep. Put them in little bags.
Little doggy bags.
Little round
doggy bags.
Vesicles, yes.
Question. Should we be calling it Golgi apparatus or Golgi body?
Or if we're not quite sure whether it's the apparatus or the body, we could just say the Golgi. The Golgi works fine. Okay, Golgi's apparatus, I think, again, because it's translated from Italian to start with, and whatever Italian word they picked, and I don't know any Italian at all. It's not quite true. I think I managed to learn how to say room 5, please. Oh, no. Can you find me someone who speaks English, please? On the telephone. That's what I could... And I'd have to revise that. But that was the limit of my Italian. Which was good, because every Italian hotel that my family was staying in when they were overseas had someone who could speak English. So when they had some poor English speaker on the end of the phone, they could... deal with it, rather than the other form is to keep speaking more loudly in English until somebody like talks back to you, which is the traditional English fashion. Okay. Yeah, if they didn't understand the language the first time, shouting it at them helps.
And then the third time they explode.
Go on. Down
there. Okay. Lysosomes. Lysosomes are some of the little membrane-bound sacs that come off the Golgi. And some of them are filled with lytic enzyme. The lyso word has to do with breaking apart. Some body, little bodies that do breaking. Jonas. A digestive plant, that's plant in the word factory. Yeah, I do a part. No, yes. My English words have been sort of bizarre in the last little while, because I used the word contains as well in a very strange fashion in year 12. No, contains as in keep it in, because usually you use contain as like holds or the contents, a container, but it's also the barrier, like
yeah.
the outside of the container contains the insides. And it's not a common use of the word. Yeah, usually you can say, you know, lolly cake contained lollies.
Yeah.
Glad wrap, on the other hand, contains the lolly cake. It holds it in and stops it escaping. I'm glad we can record that for posterity. Now, the bad thing about lysosomes is that last line, the cell breaks down if the lysosome explodes. If you've got a bit, like, that's the self-destruct mechanism. If you're messing around with something inside the cell, you tip over and spill it, and you die. It's that kind of thing with lysosomes.
So wait, they're the things that destroy things?
They're the things that destroy stuff. If you...
You could say it is the cell's stomach.
Yeah, I understood what that was.
You understood
it? Just give yourself an uppercut and we'll carry on. At least you amuse yourself. Okay, mitochondria. Second largest organelle, they've got their own genetic structure. Now, another of the little pieces of reading that I was recommending, in the last week there's been some papers written about, well, at least a paper written, about how to avoid inherited mitochondrial disease. Because mitochondria have got about 30,000 base pair genome, or is it 300,000? It's a lot smaller than your... It's a lot smaller than the nuclear genome, but your mitochondria have got them. And where are your mitochondria from? Mitochondria are from your mother. So we've got alliteration happening all over the place. So mitochondria from mummy. If mummy has a mitochondrial disease, this means that it will get passed on to the offspring. Now, I have to think about... mitochondrial diseases are generally bad because the mitochondrial genes do things like make the electron transport chain, which is what we need for respiration. So, mitochondrial diseases are bad. What they've found is that they can take a fertilised nucleus, take the nucleus out of the cell from a woman who's got mitochondrial disease and implant it into another mature egg cell from another woman and have it fertilised... And the amount of mitochondria you actually drag over in that process is in the region of 2%.
So it's kind of like cloning?
It is. It's like, except that the purpose of cloning at this point is actually to avoid bad mitochondria.
The mitochondria is not in the nucleus
itself. No, they're mitochondria all around the outside. Now, one of the questions about this is, though, should people with these kind of conditions actually, should we be going to this kind of extent to help people who've got a mitochondrial disease have kids? Because one of the solutions to a whole lot of these ethical issues is, no, you shouldn't have children.
AIDS, mitochondrial...
No, AIDS is a virus.
It's like bringing the world.
Can you get mitochondrial viruses?
Yes. Again, that's an off the top of my head, but I'm thinking the answer to that's yes. I'm not certain, because how they get into a cell would be a bit of an issue, but I have a suspicion that because viruses infect... bacteria really effectively, and there's some evidence that mitochondria were once bacteria. They've got a single circular genome.
Why are they important?
Mitochondria are the energy, they do the energy producing chemical reactions in the mitochondria.
The motor?
It's the motor, that's the energy source, the battery. That's where all your food gets processed. Do you remember ATP? The energy currency of the cell, you take on sugar. Sugar gets broken down a little bit in the cytoplasm with a process called glycolysis, anaerobic respiration, for those of you who've done that. You get 2 to 4 ATP, depending on who's arguing. The electron transport chain then takes the breakdown product of that and processes it and produces about 36 ATP. So about 9 times as much energy. It needs oxygen at the end. So... oxygen, mitochondria together, they are what produce the huge amount of energy that we get from our food. So, basically, there's another point that says mitochondria are why we breathe. Mitochondria do all sorts of other things. They are basically anything to do with food is a mitochondrial thingy. Okay? Picture of mitochondria, they are relatively large and they've got a folded internal membrane. The internal membrane is where the electron transport chain reactions take place. They're actually embedded in the inner membrane of the mitochondrion. The cristae, as they're known. The electron transport chain, the things that actually break down food products to make all the energy from aerobic respiration. All the oxygen in your body has to get from your lungs actually to the inside of your mitochondria.
So then what is the little bean-shaped thing?
The bean shape is the mitochondrion.
And that's just in case...
That's one of them cut around the outside. Now, the outer membrane and the gap between the inner and outer membrane also have functions. It's just, I want to carry on.
Okay.
So, mitochondria have got their own genome. And that's the whole lot of reactions that happen on them. Okay. Ribosomes. This was a scary fact for me for ribosomes. Each cell contains thousands of the miniature protein factories. Up to 25% of a cell's mass are ribosomes. That's lots. If you think they're really, really small, that's a huge number. Now, other little thing about ribosomes while we're speaking. I think I said last time, bacterial ribosomes are different from eukaryotic ribosomes. So one of the things that they've tried doing is, as an antibiotic target, the different ribosomes are certainly part of it because bacteria or prokaryotes have different ribosomes from eukaryotes.
Ribosomes. I remember seeing a video and they link some things together.
Ribosomes are linked together by messenger RNA, like messenger RNA loads a whole lot on.
And then it breaks off the
Yeah, it comes off and then the protein comes off off the outside and then the messenger RNA pops off the end. Yeah, we'll go back round this one. Again, mobile synthesizes proteins in the cytoplasm, stationary embedded in the rough endoplasmic reticulum. I was going to say something else about ribosomes.
So when they're stationary, do they synthesize proteins?
They synthesize proteins into the endoplasmic reticulum. So any protein that's got to be processed or sent, like exported, to other parts of the body usually, like salivary amylase, is going to be made in the endoplasmic reticulum. You know, the enzyme in your salivary glands?
It goes to the Golgi body?
Yeah, so it goes to the Golgi and then secreted out of the gland.
And what about the mobile type?
The mobile type make proteins in the cytoplasm. And then they stay doing their job inside the cell. The enzymes that break down glucose, for example. We need another one of those. We've just about worn this one out. That message gets turned on, makes the protein in the cytoplasm. That's where it does its job. So they're made where they're needed, or they're made for export. And people found this out. That was my point about ribosomes. Eukaryotes and prokaryotes have different ribosomes. They both read the same genetic code. The genetic code is a seriously cool thing. It's read by anything. We can take DNA, who's dispensable today? We can take DNA out of Nick. We can take DNA from anybody. You can isolate DNA. Well, actually get your cells, put them in a blender, isolate the RNA, and stick it in a thing with ribosomes and all the other factors it needs to make it go, and it will make a protein. We can stick it into bacterial ribosomes, and it will make the same protein. So you can take RNA out of a human cell, stick it into a bacterium, and it will make the protein. That's actually how insulin's made today. It's a machine. Yeah, it's a machine and synthetic. Like, they used to get insulin from pig pancreases. And insulin-dependent diabetics used to be able to inject insulin from pig pancreases, but there were problems like you're getting a pig protein and your immune system doesn't always react well to it. So what they do now is that they got the gene and they put it into another, I can't remember whether it was bacteria or yeast, but something you can grow in a fermenter. Yeah. And these things grow by binary fission. So they eat, they get big, they get fat, they split in half. Those then eat, they get fat, they split in half. And binary fission is really, really efficient in terms of getting a heck of a lot of stuff quickly. if you've ever played that game on your on the calculator when you're really, really bored, about going, you know, 2 times 2, and then you square it and square it and square it and square it, and it gets too big for the calculator after about, how many key pushes? It's less than 40.
Is it 39?
I don't know, I haven't... I'm just trying to think what it is. I think because 2 to the power of 32 is... Yeah, it's a big, big number. Because 2 to the power of 5 is 32. 2 to the power of 6 is 64. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, if you've done any computing, it's, you know, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, 2048, 5096, and I run out about then. Because back when I taught computing, you didn't need to know numbers bigger than that. So, back to ribosomes. Ribosomes, therefore, read a universal genetic code. One of the things that makes the whole study of DNA useful is that the genetic code is universal. Okay. Very quickly back over some of the other things. Cell walls. Now, 2 kinds of cell wall. But plants and prokaryotes have cell walls. I'm ignoring fungi, which I probably shouldn't do because there's some really important things like this called yeasts. Okay, controls the cell shape, and we've done a whole lot about at year 12 about turgid and flaccid cells and water potential and that sort of thing. So the cell wall is actually extracellular because all these things have also got a cell membrane, and the cell membrane pushing up against it is the thing that gives these things support. Importantly, chemically, plant cell walls are cellulose. Prokaryotic cell walls are mostly something like peptidoglycan, sometimes peptidoglycan and chitin. Whatever it is, they are chemically really different from plants. Mr. McMurdo.
So, yep, plants are plants because they have cell walls. And what are prokaryotes?
Prokaryotes are prokaryotes because they've got cell walls and they're single-celled and they are not green. Greenness...
Did anything evolve from prokaryotes?
Well, in theory, everything evolved from prokaryotes.
Why are there cell walls?
Where do we lose cell walls is one of those deep, meaningful evolutionary questions. But in theory, the simplest life form is something before a prokaryote.
But eukaryotes don't have cell walls.
No, they don't. Well, except for plants, you mean.
Plants are eukaryotes?
Yep, because they've got membraney things inside. Anything that's got membraney things inside is a eukaryote.
Do eukaryotes have chlorophyll?
Only plant ones. Plants have chlorophyll in chloroplasts. That's what makes them green. Now, just little bit and piece about chloroplasts. What else is interesting about chloroplasts? They've got their own genomes as well. So inside a plant cell, there's the nuclear DNA, all the ordinary DNA that makes all the, does all the normal DNA things, and the mitochondrial DNA, and chloroplast DNA. But most people are interested only in studying mitochondrial DNA and nuclear DNA, because mitochondrial DNA comes from mothers, and it was small. Now, why did they use mitochondrial DNA for the early DNA fingerprinting studies that they used to do for forensic stuff? Not because it's from mummy. Why would they pick mitochondrial DNA over nuclear DNA? Other way around. There's more of it. Think, if ribosomes comprise 25% of the cell's mass, now that I'm not talking ribosomes, but how many nuclei have you got in a cell? 1. How many mitochondria do you think you have? Yeah, more than 1. Yeah, significantly more than 1. If you pick the cell type right, lots. Stuffed full, so you've got lots and lots of copies. And before the polymerase chain reaction, that was a really big deal. You needed to be able to get lots of DNA at once. And with the nucleus, you've only got 1 copy, maybe 2 copies, depending on whether the alleles are the same or different. So mitochondrial DNA gave us a really, really good way of looking at it. Okay, so that's the whole overview of cells, bacteria, proteins, things you needed to know before we start.
What are membrane things?
So cell membranes, and then we've got the nucleus with the nuclear membrane, endoplasmic reticulum, Golgi, lysosomes, all those little things. Yeah. So prokaryotes are bugs. Eukaryotes are everything bigger than bugs. Everything multicellular.
Aren't there single-celled eukaryotes?
Yeah. There's always an except because if we're trying to classify them, but in general we think eukaryotes are big.
Is that why they're hard to classify them?
Yeah, because there's always something on the margins, like is there a single-celled eukaryote? Yes, they're called yeasts. Or euglena, or paramecium. Or... yeah, no, we showed a year 12 picture of an amoeba killing and eating a paramecium, which was sort of interesting.
So what are fungi?
Fungi are eukaryotes. They are plants without chlorophyll, essentially. Where do they grow? Where do mushrooms grow?
On the ground and on trees.
On dead stuff.
And on dead stuff.
Pretty much, mushrooms are decomposers. They tend, if you're looking for mushrooms in farms, you tend to find them around horse poo. Okay? But if you think about where toadstools and all the other mushrooms you see, and fungi you see growing around the place, pine needles, rotting logs. Yeah, you get actual mushrooms. Now, if we're thinking mushrooms, what's the mushroom plant? How big is it?
Mushroom size?
No, much bigger. He says humongous. What is Keegan?
Because it's like all in the. Like a traditional bus mushroom in a field, they're like rings.
Yeah, they grow in rings, and the whole ring is the mushroom. What you're seeing, what we call the traditional mushrooms, are the fruiting bodies from one thing. One of the discussions is that perhaps the biggest living thing on Earth is the fungus that lives in the giant redwood. Because there's a fungus that lives from outside the roots all the way through the whole structure of the tree into the tops of the tops of the thing. And you can't see it, but as soon as the tree dies, it takes over. Because it's like, you know, white 3D thing. But so, yeah, fungi are really, really interesting. Actually, while we're here, there is another podcast. You have to be a little bit more hardcore, and I'm not necessarily thinking this is your thing yet. But... Scientific American, VCE Biology, okay, other podcasts very quickly, 60 Second Science from Scientific American. Scientific American also do a weekly digest of their stuff. The other one though that I was looking for in iTunes is... No, goodness no. Okay, the other one, which we're going to try and find, is called, they call themselves TWIP. And it's either This Week in Photography, this pic of a point, and TWIP Podcast. Okay, we'll get off that one and we'll call it this one. Okay. This Week in Virology. Yeah, they've also got This Week in Parasitism, but win a free Drobo.
This Week in Virology, the podcast about viruses, the kind that make you sick. This Week in Virology, episode number 78 for April 16th, 2010. Hey everybody, I'm Vincent Racaniello, and this is TWIB, the show where we talk all about viral videos. No, that's the wrong podcast.
Okay, so TWIB and TWIP, This Week in Parasitism, is actually done monthly, and that's got stuff about things like tapeworms, and they get really, 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 I mean... You heard the upbeat music and stuff. They're really keen on viruses. And they keep, like, flicking little in comments. And when they're doing This Week in Parasitism, they're even keener about parasites. So the guy doing it, this guy called Dick de Pommier, is just incredibly keen about parasites, and I've forgotten the kind of worm he had, but tapeworms they were really, really into. But there's some interesting stuff. If we look at, if you look very quickly, treating arthritis with a tanapox virus protein, Darwinian evolution of prions, cold fronts linked to European H5N1. It's actually much, much more interesting than you would think. And there's stuff about bats. Okay. Last thing.